eat my words there.
Yeah.
But
my words tasted delicious. A little steak sauce, they go down smooth with a nice Cabernet.
Speaking of narcissism.
Uh-huh.
Who's narcissistic?
Elise, because she's mad that I turned off the selfie on Zoom.
You. David is clearly narcissistic.
I'm not the one who cared that the selfie was off, all right?
You just said your own words are like a fine steak.
Yeah. What's the problem with that?
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
Excellent. And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
Happy New Year!
No, this is Merry Christmas, actually. This is coming out right before Christmas. You want to go back inside?
So narcissistic. He thinks the New Year should come early just for him.
I really thought this one was the January 4th one. This is this week. This is coming out like right now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, this one is coming out right now at Christmas time.
I do know what we're talking about. I just didn't know when we were releasing it.
Are you ready?
I was ready before. I'm a game day player that doesn't know what day the game is.
Are you a game day player? Maybe you might be a game day player, but you might not be good at it.
Game day players show up to the wrong game.
That happens.
Merry Christmas, everyone. This
Merry
is coming out.
Merry Christmas.
The
yes.
week. The
Happy
week of
almost
Christmas.
Almost Christmas. Yeah.
Almost Christmas.
Just
We're
a few
almost
days.
There.
Uh-huh. It's getting hard to sleep at night.
In anticipation, so or just are you hoping for a new bed or something? Right.
Yes. Mostly anxiety and stress at this point, but I'm sure for some people it's anticipation.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the church work world, it's like one final hurrah.
Like, oh my God.
And then you can breathe a little bit before 2021. Most people might be winding down as this podcast is released, but not us, not yet.
Yeah, you preach like 40 times on like
new personal best 40
days.
So we've adjusted our schedule. So I'll only be preaching 4 times now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that is more
in one day.
In a night and a day, in 24 hours. Well, 27 mm-hmm. hours. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, in fairness though, I do 6 children's sermons during those times.
Patrick records like 1 children's sermon that is played on video 6 different times. Let's be clear about this.
In fairness, I might have to have a lot of cocktails in Hawaii.
Oh, okay. Oh, poor Elise.
Yeah, that'll be
think
tough.
Think of me while you struggle through, okay?
Hey, you can always stream in from Hawaii. You can join our Christmas Eve worship services.
I could always stream in from Hawaii.
We'll assume that means that you're going to join mm-hmm. us. Yeah, we'll
possibilities on the table. Yeah, we just assume that. Yeah, so Merry Christmas. This is our special Christmas episode, and it's really not that Christmassy. So
should we have some jingle bells or something in the background here?
I could put those in post, but I won't. So
yeah. I just want to say that I
have way too much going on to Google sound effects right now.
Patrick's recorded a children's sermon that he has to press play on 6 times.
He's got a lot.
I have to edit 3 more videos this week, so.
there. I'm sorry. I'm picking on Patrick, but he has lots to do.
Yes,
so, yeah, we all feel bad for Patrick. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So our Christmas episode, because this episode, we're talking all about angels.
Mm-hmm. Hark the herald.
Yes.
Angels sing.
The Christmas story in Scripture has a lot of angels attached to it. So a lot angels are pretty mm-hmm. active at that point in time. So we want to talk a little bit about angels. But before we get there, we've got some news. Coming to us from Wisconsin. All right.
A cheese state.
Yeah, well, not just cheese anymore, I guess.
Okay.
Here's the headline here. This is under their food news. Cannibal sandwich scare. Wisconsin Yikes. Officials urge families to pass on holiday tradition of eating raw meat. Mm. Okay, so this is evidently a Wisconsin tradition, holiday tradition, where they eat a raw ground beef sandwich.
Oh my God.
Sometimes Gross. Called either a cannibal sandwich, a tiger meat, or steak tartare. What do you think?
Oh, steak tartare is like the formal name of it. Yeah, that's like a real thing.
But I feel like this is like grocery store deli ground beef, not like actual. I mean, this has been handled professionally, steak tartare.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, they're not getting the, sometimes at my grocery store, they have like the 4-pound log of meat.
Uh-huh.
Like,
yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
And then just cutting off slices. Yes,
you slice know, me off. This is the Oscar Mayer steak tartare, you know?
slice me off some ground beef.
Steak tartare has a first name. It's
my steak tartare is moving.
It's S-A-L-M-O-N-E-L-L-A.
Yeah. That's dumb with the spelling there.
I'm looking at my notes. This is from the health department. Many Wisconsin families consider them a holiday tradition, but eating them poses a threat for salmonella, E. coli, Campylobacter, Listeria. They can make you see. Remember, ground beef should always be cooked to an internal temperature of 160 degrees Fahrenheit. So let me ask you.
Ground beef is not what they make steak tartare out of. I want to be very clear about that.
Yeah. Do you want a tiger steak sandwich? Are you interested in this ground beef sandwich?
No.
Not even a little bit.
No.
Though we do have, I think we have some Wisconsin listeners, or at least some former Wisconsin listeners. So maybe they can fill us in on this.
I got a question.
If you're out there, Wisconsinites, and you have information about this, we'll call it hamburger tartare. Hamburger helper tartare.
Let's just cut to the chase. How is this a thing?
How have people like?
Yeah. Why is this a thing?
How have the people who eat this survived long enough for evolution to not like?
Did you not have flame?
Right. Yeah. We said, you know what? It's cold out. It's cold outside. I don't want to make a fire. Mm-hmm. That's silly. I'm just gonna eat this raw.
You know what would make this hamburger great? If we forgot to cook it first.
And it's also not even the raw burger. It's also raw onions attached.
Okay.
To it,
so. Oh.
Well,
okay.
With raw onions, that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah. That's not making any better for me. It's like, oh, okay, raw onions. Finally, you know.
Wait, is it red onions or like? Real like Vidalia onions? What kind of raw onions are we talking about here?
Don't know. Yeah. So the USDA says, right, well, that case, if that's your tradition, try this safe alternative. Cook it with the same spices and toppings. You might be fine. You might be surprised to find it tastes better when cooked. Not to mention, you're not risking a trip to the hospital with every mouthful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the USDA is getting a little spicy there.
I know, it's a shade from the health department. I love it.
And I guess you could put some spice on your tiger meat or cannibal sandwich, which sounds gross. Mm-hmm. I'm not like that. Oh, this will make it sound appealing. This is a cannibal sandwich.
Yeah.
You know, when you said cannibal scare, I really thought somebody lost a finger in the meat processing plant. I was like, oh, good Lord.
Oh, uh-oh. That's probably happened. But
there's a Wendy's chili situation a few years ago.
That was
there?
All fake.
Was it?
Yeah, the finger was planted. Yeah.
But was it actually a finger?
It was a feral finger, but it was planted. It was not something that came in the chili. The person got the food and put a finger in there.
Okay. This is obviously an unusual holiday.
Where do you not get a finger? You don't know how to get a finger?
Was this in Florida?
You got 10 of them.
Pick one.
I'm saying, if you could sue Wendy's and they give you $1 million, is that worth the missing a finger? It might be, you know, like.
Yeah, the client mysteriously comes in with a well-bandaged finger and finds the finger in his suit.
I think you find a partner, you know, a cohort here who's willing to donate a pinky for half the proceeds. So
I think this person somehow had, I don't know, access to medical waste or something. I think there was some reason that they had access to a finger. Okay.
I was gonna say fingerprints. I mean, you make it really easy for them to track.
Fair enough.
This finger came from.
Yeah, like
you gotta brine
at least dip that thing in some acid first. Right?
But let me ask you this. Do you have any kind of unusual or weird holiday traditions in your home? Do you hide a pickle in the tree?
We do not have a pickle on the tree. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Christmas poppers or crackers. Do you do those? Those are English tradition. For my in-laws, they do that.
We do orange cinnamon rolls every Christmas morning.
Those sound delightful.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah. That's the closest I think we have to like a tradition.
Are these like a homemade orange cinnamon roll?
No, they're the Pillsbury, and they are better than anything that I would make at home ever. So
now, do you cook those or do you just eat those raw?
Yeah, I call it a cannibal roll. Pop that sucker open.
There you go.
It's not a human that you're eating; it's just the doughboy itself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I like to hear him scream.
Yikes. What about you, Pastor?
Merry Christmas. I don't think we. I guess I mean we have a tradition. I don't know. We have like a
weird
tradition. I don't know. So growing up, we always had my grandpa always made grasshoppers for my families, which are an alcoholic milkshake, basically. And as a kid, I didn't know that it was supposed to have alcohol in it. Mm-hmm. He just made me a mint chocolate chip milkshake, which was delicious and wonderful. So I was Sears is like 21 before I knew that a grasshopper was supposed to actually have alcohol in it. And I was like, oh, this is a boozy drink? All right, this is even better. But yeah, so I still, in honor of my grandfather who passed just after Christmas last year, I still make myself a grasshopper every year when I come home from Christmas Eve stuff.
Grub has really good grasshoppers.
Oh, yeah. Growing up.
For our listeners.
Will they deliver at 11:30? Well, probably 12:30 at night on Christmas Eve.
Well,
yeah, probably not. Grub's probably closed then.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll order one in advance and put it in the freezer.
Well, just if you want a grasshopper any other time, aside from your Christmas.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that like I don't look for is, like it just is, it's the sentimentality. I mean, it's delicious and I love it, but I'm also not like, oh, July, you know what I could really go for?
Grasshopper.
Sure. Very holiday-y to me.
Yeah. Patrick feels like he has some weird Christmas traditions.
I bet he has.
I do. When I was growing up, I always got scratch-off lottery tickets in my stocking. That was a family tradition, as we all got scratch-offs. You know, so that's fun as a 10-year-old.
Do you still do that?
A little gambling. No, we do not.
You haven't gotten Timmy his first scratch-off yet?
Timmy's not gotten his first scratch-off. My wife and I started a Christmas tradition where we only get each other 4 gifts, but we kind of have fallen away from it. And those are like, we have themes for those 4 gifts. Like one is homemade, one is a book, one is like a gift that you give someone else, or we donated money on your behalf kind of a thing. So that's kind of where our 4 gifts. But then every year
it is adorable, but it also sounds like a lot of work.
I just want more stuff than that.
Every year we forget about it. We get plenty of things, you know, like, you know, we're adults. It's like, if anytime I want a Christmas gift for myself, I can just buy it, you know, so.
Yeah. My husband's a budget person, so.
Yeah.
You can't buy things for yourself anytime you want.
I mean, I can, but like, I feel bad about it. Right. So I don't feel bad in context of Christmas for being like.
I mean, you won't feel as bad about it when you can retire comfortably in 50 years.
Sure. Okay. Have you been talking to him?
No, we just are kindred spirits, Michael and I. Yeah, yes, we understand.
Probably.
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about angels, but first, before we get there, that was our weird news. There's also some exciting news going on in our world. Starting today that this podcast comes out, you can look to the heavens tonight.
Yes, find it right now.
And see a star, an unusual...
A star. You can look to the heavens and you can see a star tonight only.
Let me finish. An unusual...
Way more fun to cut you off.
Astronomical phenomenon where Jupiter and Saturn will be aligned... And they will form like what looks to be a bright star in the sky.
What happened in the first Thor movie? The planets all like lined up and
for we talked about this on the last podcast.
We did.
We can't remember the name. Asgard.
Yeah, for Asgard, the alignment of the planets. And or it's actually the alignment of the realms. It's the 9 realms, not just the 9 planets.
I think this also happens in the animated Hercules movie.
Yes, it does.
There you go. Yeah.
Yes. So this has not happened like this for like 500 years or something like that. It'll happen again in like 80 years, but
it'll be brighter now. Like something similar will happen, but it will be at its brightest point because of how close we are to it. So like they'll align again, like they align every 80 years, but it's the brightest it has been for the last 500 years because of how long or how close we are to the event that's happening. So like Martin Luther was alive the last time that
happened.
Connection to Luther. So tonight or any Always night this week, I think it'll be brightest Monday, the 21st. Night this week, about 45 minutes after sundown, look to the south-southwest portion of the sky and you'll see it, by the naked eye, it'll kind of look like an airplane in the night sky, but it is kind of neat.
It'll be a really bright airplane.
Yes, but many people have...
The airplanes in the night sky are like shooting stars.
Anybody?
I could use a wish right now. The theory is that if we look back in history and we can trace where the planets and stars were doing thousands of years ago, something similar to this may be what the Magi followed to Jesus. Except then it might have been 3 planets aligning together. And as they moved, it kind of created, this prophecy that Jesus was being born right in, the first couple of years of Jesus's life or AD, whatever. We don't really exactly know when Jesus was born, but in the early ADs,
about -3,
this was happening. And so this could be what the Magi followed. So I think that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
So we could also
feel ominous since it's 2020, though.
Yes.
Yes.
How we feel.
There's an element of, oh God.
This is maybe a more of a Hercules situation. Uh-huh.
So this could be the sign of better times, or it's over, people. You know.
Yeah.
So, been a good run.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if it is what it is at this point. Nothing we can do about it.
I've been tracking this, and it's because I want to see it on the 21st when it's but it's very low in the sky, like it's close along the horizon when they're really well aligned, and so. You gotta have a space with fewer trees around. If you're in a tree area, you probably won't be able to see it, because it'll probably be below your eyesight. So if you can get above the trees, if you have a roof, that would be ideal. Oh. You have roof access.
Or a drone or something.
But then you'd be seeing it through a drone.
That's fine.
It's not the same at all. might as well just look at it on the internet. Why not?
That's fine. Yeah, I mean, I think it's neat. So about 45 minutes after sundown, every night this week, you'll be able to see it. It'll be brightest on Monday. So that's neat. So let's talk about angels. and then angels in the Bible. So before I get there, I would like to say, how have you seen angels represented in pop culture? Let's start there.
Touched by an angel. Anybody else?
Yeah.
I don't know. My mom loved Touched by an Angel. I don't know. Maybe it's just in my memory that she loved it, but I felt like that show was on all the time in our house. And there's the woman had the nice sweet voice. I don't know the actress's name, but she had the nice sweet voice. And then
I think it's the other guy who.
No, it's not Dr. Quinn. It's not the same actress. It's not. It's definitely not.
Whatever.
Because Dr. Quinn is, who's that famous lady that played Dr. Quinn? Shoot, this is going terribly.
I don't know. You're older than me, both of you.
Okay. All right. Anyway. So
reminder.
They had the whole scene, like she's there, like walking alongside people, and nobody knows that she's an angel.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, at the end, something dramatic happens, and she glows, and she's like, "I'm an angel sent from God." She had that like weird accent where she always said God with a funny thing. And I'm like, okay, that's what an angel does. They walk alongside you, and then they show up in that moment. Yeah. Except for the one dude. There was one guy who was actually the angel of death, and he only showed up every time people were going to die. And so anytime she saw him show up, she's like, oh, no. Somebody's gonna die, and he's like, "I can't tell you who." And she's like, "Well, what?" I was like, "I can't tell you who's gonna die." And it's very dramatic.
Have any of us seen Good Omens?
I like Good Omens. Okay. Yeah, I like that one a lot.
That's a favorite of mine.
We talked about Good Omens on the podcast when it first came out.
Oh,
we did. A group of Christians protested Netflix for it, even though it was produced by Amazon Prime.
That's right. I knew there was a reason. Yeah,
it's glorious. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Good Omens was great.
Yeah.
It is the alliance between an angel and demon trying to prevent the end of the world. So,
that's right. Yeah, they misplace the Antichrist accidentally.
Right, as you do.
Right.
You know. Things happen.
Yeah.
Right. The Antichrist is always in the last place you look. So.
Yeah.
The Good Place, it's another good one. I mean, less angelic, but they've got some demon depictions, certainly supernatural.
You think It's a Wonderful Life has an angel attached there?
Every time a bell rings.
An angel gets
wings. Of that movie. Yeah, so that's.
I mean, there's bells ringing all the time. How many angels are up there getting wings? I mean, come on.
A lot. They're really busy.
Every church steeple is given angels several times a day. You know, they're
wings. Well, I want to know, like, when we have bells play on a Sunday morning, is it like every note that's played, or is it like together? You get one for the song. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good question.
I'll be clear on what the regulations are.
This bell math does not add up. It's a Wonderful Life.
Right.
Cancel culture. So get rid of it. Any other, Charmin? There's some little.
The Charmin commercial.
Angel Soft. That's it. Angel Soft.
There you go. Uh-huh. Charmin has the bears, Patrick.
Yes.
Your branding in line.
Yeah. So we've definitely seen angels represented in pop culture. I'm willing to say that is not what they're going to look like, act like in the Bible. In fact, probably most of our views or understanding of angels, I'm going to be willing to venture a guess, do not come from scripture, but from either Renaissance, from Dante, or from pop culture of today. That's how we kind of envision how they look, how they act, how they respond. So let's talk about angels.
Yeah, I just want to say that I special requested this topic.
You did. Bet you are going to really bring the bacon to this one.
Well, I do have sort of a fun side story that I can share a little bit.
Yeah,
that is not about angels, it's about pirates.
So clearly we're going to share it on this episode.
Absolutely, it fits. The reason I requested this, though, is there's a meme that I stumbled across of two cats side by side, and it's like this really gorgeous, like, Persian cat, and it's like, Renaissance angels mm-hmm. versus angels in the Bible, and it's like this really like shriveled up cat with like a bunch of googly eyes stuck all over its face. I was like, oh, I want to talk about that.
Yeah, that's pretty great. I like that. I like that meme. Yeah, I mean, angels in the Bible are apparently very scary because every time they show up in some form or another, they tell people don't be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
if you have to lead with that,
right? If you have to lead with don't be afraid, and one of the exceptions to this is actually Mary. Where he get or the angel shows up, Angel Gabriel shows up. This is very Christmassy appropriate, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So Angel Gabriel shows up to Mary and says, do not be afraid, or not before he says, do not be afraid, greetings, favored one.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary is like, well, that's weird.
Yeah.
You know, why are you saying it that way? Mm-hmm. And then he says, do not be afraid, for you know, God is with you, et cetera, and goes on from there. And so one of my colleagues who's working on sermons, because we, you know, Facebook post about what we're talking about for sermons all the time and stuff like that. And he was mentioning this, as he's reading this text, he's like, maybe Mary like knows how angels are supposed to act. And so when he shows up and doesn't say, do not be afraid first, she's like, well, that's weird.
Yeah.
What? That's not how you're supposed to say hi to me. You're supposed to say, do not be afraid. What's going on? And she knows something's up right away. Or maybe she was just like super brave and he didn't need to tell her to be not afraid.
Maybe
Mary was just like, I ain't scared of no multi-eyed flaming thing.
Or maybe Gabriel was the good looking one. We don't really know.
Yeah. Still, I'd still be terrified. Even if he were the good looking one.
Even just pops up.
They're described as like lots of fire, lots of eyes. Mm-hmm. It's like, oof, this is rough.
Right.
Yeah. So there's actually not a lot of angels mentioned by name in mm-hmm. the scriptures, in the Protestant scriptures. I think there's a few more mentioned. The Catholics have some extra books, and I think they've got some extra angels in there.
They try not to refer to them as extra books, but yes, they do have other additional books of the Bible that, you know.
So really in the Protestant Bible, there's only three angels mentioned by name. Michael, the archangel, the angel Gabriel, and a third, which is in Revelation, Abaddon or Apollyon.
Yes. What's that one? That's
good old Abaddon.
Less popular angel.
Well, you know, not as many people read Revelation.
So. Sure. Yeah.
And that is, I think, in some Bibles, maybe translated as Lucifer, you know. So.
Oh, that type of angel.
The one who falls. Yeah.
Sure.
The fallen angel, yes. So the bad boy of the angel world.
Bad boy.
Wears the leather jacket.
He's smoking behind the school.
Yeah.
You
just know. Yeah. And will not have your daughter home by 9.
Yeah, some of the other angels are like, oh, I bet I could tame him, though. I bet I could.
Yeah. Yeah, I can change him.
He's got such a good heart.
You're right.
I can turn Lucifer back.
Yeah, so does anybody remember a story in the Bible that includes an angel? We already talked about angels and Mary. So Gabriel speaks to Mary. Anybody else have an angel story in the Bible?
Angels and shepherds.
Yeah.
So also in the Christmas story.
I'm taking all the easy Christmas ones. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Yes. And then we have a host of angels. And we'll
the heavenly host.
We'll get into that in actually a little bit. So a host of angels with the shepherds. Anybody? Any others?
Oh man, I want to say, didn't somebody wrestle with an angel, or is that actually wrestling?
That's a great question.
Depends on the translation. Yeah. So Jacob wrestles with a man who is not identified, but I think is maybe identified as an angel of the Lord at one point. But then at another point, it's kind of implied that it's actually God. Like sometimes, particularly in the Old Testament, sometimes the angel of God and God have this weird amorphous identity where like you can't tell who's who.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like the angel of God is part of God so intricately that they are the same, but they're not the same. Jacob does wrestle with that. And that's when Jacob's name is changed to Israel.
Yes.
And then Jacob walks away limping and limps for the rest of his life.
Hmm.
Because when you wrestle with God, God's going to knock out your hip.
Here's the moral.
How's that? Merry Christmas.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's see. Other angels, I believe in Numbers, Balaam is riding his donkey and there's an angel blocking the path that only the donkey can see. And Balaam's mad and starts out to whip his donkey. And then finally the angel appears, the donkey talks to him and is like, hey, that's not cool, dude. Like,
what, man? There's an angel on the road.
Right.
This is the Patrick paraphrase. So there's an angel there. And let's see, in the book of Isaiah, angels are there. Isaiah sees some angels worshiping God. And in Revelation, there's a bunch of angels, you know.
I think several of the apocalyptic visions, you know, Daniel, Ezekiel, some others, all kind of have general views of angels being present around the throne of God.
Mm-hmm.
They're all kind of depicted. Mm-hmm. Though we should specify that angels, at least from a biblical perspective, angels don't have wings. It's cherubim and seraphim, which are not angels. They're separate from, they're a separate class of spirit, supernatural being, if we want to think of them that way. But cherubim and seraphim would have wings, but angels would not have wings from our understandings.
Yeah, let's start there. So there's these different classes of these spiritual beings, maybe under the umbrella of angels. We can put them all there. So first,
class of 2020, class of 2021.
The first we'll say cherubim.
Nothing. Patrick doesn't like my jokes.
I just got a pity chuckle.
I appreciate that. I'll take this.
Yeah. All right. So the different, first there's cherubims. So these are mentioned in a couple of places. This a cherubim is guarding the entrance to the Garden of Eden. God rides on the cherubims in the Psalms. And two golden cherubim will sit on the Ark of the Covenant when God promises to those people. So we have, these are the cherubims mentioned in the Bible. And we also have the seraphims.
The seraphim are my favorite.
These are the only mentioned ones, and that's in that book, Isaiah. These are the ones flying around. They have three sets of wings. One they're flying with, one covers their face, and the other covers their feet.
Maybe not their feet.
Maybe not their feet.
Is this a callback?
It might be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. You know, so maybe not their feet, covering the bottom portion of themselves.
Right.
And I think even in Isaiah, they're weird looking, not just with the, they got a bunch of eyes. So, and then we have.
And they're different types of animals too, if I remember correctly. They're not all the same animal.
Yeah. And then we also have kind of these other heavenly beings, living creatures. Sometimes they appear as lion, an ox, a man, an eagle. I think in Ezekiel, they're going to appear like they've got the head of a lion, also the head of an eagle, also the head of a man, and the head of an oxen, all together.
Yep.
With a bunch of eyes. Like, you're like, hey, that's eight eyes.
Like,
More eyes. When God was making these angels, he's like, look, I know this is going to sound crazy, but you cannot put enough eyes on this thing. You may have heard me say, put just a bunch of eyes on there.
Right.
I mean, all the eyes.
Right.
Covered in eyes.
All
eyes. And then I, you know, it comes out and they're like, I think it just needs more eyes. You know, like, I just need more eyes.
We're not there
yet.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah. And then it's probably presumed that Gabriel, Michael, these named angels, maybe look human-esque.
Yeah.
But we don't know for sure. But these messenger angels maybe look human-esque, but they don't give a physical description. We know that, or do we?
No, we don't get a physical description, but I was just thinking of another story with angels that I thought was worth. So the other place is Jacob, before he wrestles with God, is laying down in the wilderness, and he finds the ladder that angels are ascending and descending up and down into heaven. So he found like the entrance to heaven, basically, is how it's depicted in his dream.
Interesting.
Yeah, but usually when we think in Touched by an Angel, the show, were any of them covered in eyes and looked like lion people? Like,
tragically, no.
No.
Even the angel of death was just like a white guy in a suit. Like, this is boring.
It would be.
Like, you're not even like a masked figure. Like, come on, give me a little tension here. But
Yeah, probably most of our depictions of angels are not this. We would probably envision a halo, maybe a set of wings, very humanoid in nature. The Bible, in every one of their descriptions of angels, is not that. It's just not the way that they're described. Yet we may presume that Michael and Gabriel and some of these messenger angels might look like people. And they do have to say, don't be afraid, because they are scary, but they're not like, the people are like not terrified so that they can't like they can't even process whatever they're saying.
Right.
Like Mary is not like, kill this monster in front of me. Like fight back.
Hit it with a frying pan. Yeah.
Yes. Because something is obviously wrong here. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I imagine like a glowing dude popping up in your house is pretty frightening, you know?
Sure. Yeah, that would be scary. So what are the jobs or roles of the angels have in the Bible? So the angels do have jobs. Does anybody know a job of an angel might be?
Well, we have the angels whose job it is to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes, we do have what we would call warrior angels who are there to fight.
Sure. They also fight alongside the angel Michael in Revelation.
Yes.
What does the designation archangel mean? Do we know?
It's like head angel.
Oh.
It's like the boss man.
Yeah, that's really what it would mean. Just kind
of like I'm the arc host of this podcast. So.
Okay. We all know that's not true. Right. Even our listeners are like, eh,
right. That, but that's why it's funny. It wouldn't be funny if it were true. Like, if I were actually like serious about that.
We can get you some business cards, mate. It really means a lot to you.
Pastor David Bowser, arc host.
Arc host.
Yeah, so archangel is just kind of like the general of the angels. So we have warriors. There's Revelation in 2 Kings. There's a battle where an angel goes and kills all the Assyrians, and they wake up and there's just dead bodies everywhere. So
angels, cool, we won.
Yeah.
So angels are called upon to be kind of God's army at times. And so in Revelation, a piece of Bible that we get a lot of angel imagery, we see a fight. There's a fight in heaven. Whether this happens maybe before the creation of the earth, we're kind of unclear. But we have a fight in heaven between Michael and the other angels against Lucifer or Abaddon and his dark angels that converted with him. And they are cast out of heaven and sent below. And that may be the earth, hell, whatever that is. We're not entirely sure, you know, but cast out of
heaven.
Of heaven, yeah.
There's a section about, or at least a reference to angels interbreeding with people, right?
In Genesis, it's Genesis chapter 5, if I remember this. It's the sons of God, and they, I think it says they laid with human women or laid with the women of humanity, something of that sort.
Created like the Nephilim.
Yeah, the Nephilim. Which are like the warrior. So it's kind of, we don't really know what it means, but it's kind of like, you know, a lot of ancient cultures have their ancient warrior epics, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And so these were the great warriors of ages past. And it's kind of like, oh, that was the great warrior. Because all of that's also wiped out by the flood, right? So all of that happened pre-flood. Mm-hmm. And so it's all part of the evil of creation that needs to be wiped clean in the flood. But yes, that absolutely. They're not described as angels, but they are the sons of God, I think is how it's referred to,
or
sons of light, maybe. I don't remember exactly the translation there.
And that part of the Bible, it just like breezes on past that. Any listeners like, okay, well, let's dive a little deeper in here. I want to know more.
You can't.
Good luck.
Whoever wrote Genesis is like, yeah, that happened. Boom. Let's move on.
No biggie.
We got to spend some time with a list of names coming up. which I think is valuable. I just think it's funny. All right, so that's one job is warriors. Another job in the Bible might be, and we've kind of alluded to this already, messengers.
Mail delivery. Oh, man.
Yes. Shoot. Kind of mail delivery. So
here, all the U.S. postal workers are angels, right? Is that what we just said?
Maybe. So Gabriel in the book of Matthew and Luke serves as a messenger angel here, mm-hmm, with a message from God sent to speak to them about all these different things. So we have a messenger angel attached there. Any other places you see a messenger angel in the Bible?
This is like a quiz.
There's a messenger. Actually, this might be the same angels that go on to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But isn't it a messenger angel that comes and tells Abraham that Sarah's going to have a son, and then she laughs, and that's why the son gets named Isaac? Is that considered a messenger angel in your little?
I think so. Yeah. I think that would be kind of an angel there giving messages. Usually they're there to deliver, you know, a message from God to people. I think even in like Elijah and Elisha, some angels come and give them some messages sometimes.
I think there's some other messengers in the Christmas story too. So, messenger angel comes to Joseph in a dream, and I think goes to the wise men in a dream as well. I don't remember if they're just told in a dream or if it says an angel told them in a dream. I don't remember that portion of the story. But.
And you mentioned the shepherds are by a heavenly host, which actually would mean an army of angels appear before them. So that's what that heavenly
possibly
host.
Possibly with flaming swords.
Which is amazing.
That's way cooler, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Let's incorporate that into our Christmas pageant.
Yes.
Here you go, kids. Here's your flaming sword to reenact the heavenly host coming up.
Usually it's just like a 6-year-old girl, but now. Right. Flaming sword in hand.
6-year-old girl with a flaming sword, yeah.
Gray would be way more into it if it incorporated a flaming sword. I'm just throwing that out there next year.
Yeah, I'm pro too. I think that'd be great. Yeah, here we go. Yeah. So we have messenger angels. We also are going to have protector angels. Those are designed to protect. So pre-mentioned cherubim in the Garden of Eden to protect. That also is a flaming sword, but protects the Garden of Eden from man. And in the book of Daniel, when he goes into the lion's den, maybe the protector angels close the mouths of the lions.
Can you just kind of imagine like an angel all night long, like just wrestling the line and keeping the line in a headlock with his, you know, mouth closed. He's like, it's all right, Daniel, I got it, I got it. No, it's really fine. Don't worry.
I just do this all night.
You just hang out over there, it's fine.
Especially if he's not able to even see the angel, so he just sees this lion
like what's happening?
Like, moving its head and like biting at it. I know, he's like, well, this is weird.
Right.
This will be a call forward, but he'd be like, I need Cher to come in and free this lion.
There you go. Yeah. That'll make sense in a couple of weeks, listeners. Yeah. You'll come back.
A teaser for a future episode.
And then finally, worshiper angels. In the book of Isaiah, angels there to worship God, or the seraphim, this subclass of angels. So those are kind of the classes of angels we have. So here is probably part of maybe a myth that has come out in our world, but there's no biblical proof for, and that is the term a guardian angel.
Oh.
But my grandma gave me a little thing that I hang in my rearview mirror as I drive so that my guardian angel is with me always.
Yes, so...
No, I don't. But people get that.
Yeah, people do. Yeah.
So I think this does have some biblical roots here. So in Psalm 91, it says, he will give his angels charge of you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands, they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Are these guardian angels? And does everyone get one? What do we think here?
I have no problem believing there are supernatural forces at work in the world around us that we can't explain. Whether or not we each have a guardian angel that's following us and only us around, I don't know. And that, for me, it doesn't matter. If it helps you and your walk in faith to think about your angel, you know, if that helps you to love people better, if that helps you to be more aware of the ways God is calling you to be active in the world around you, then great, use it. That's fine.
Yeah.
I find the idea a little creepy, to be honest.
This angel kind of hanging out.
It maybe doesn't help me. Mm-hmm. I mean, if God's everywhere all the time anyway.
Why do we need an angel?
Right, yeah, it seems a little overkill. I don't know.
I mean, but Santa can see everything and he still has elves. So, you know.
Yeah, I think also Matthew 18, Jesus is speaking about children and says, in heaven, their angels always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. So I think this idea of guardian angels isn't completely just drawn out of nothing, but maybe it's taking like these kind of weirder or like we don't really know, and then like using that to say like, well, everyone has a guardian angel. Mm-hmm. And here I can prove it because I had this close call where I was almost in an accident or almost hurt. Mm-hmm. And it seems miraculously that I wasn't.
Jesus took
therefore,
the wheel.
Therefore, guardian angel. I don't think it's an impossibility.
The problem there is for all the times when the person doesn't make it out of the accident, right? Like you made it out of the accident, so guardian angel, congratulations, and that's great. But the person who didn't, well, was there a guardian angel like asleep at the switch? Or I mean, that's where the logic of it falls. Yeah. I mean, and we're talking about a supernatural being, so applying logic to it is maybe not a fair criteria. Yeah. But I think that's where that particular angle is just, it's like, it's not helpful for me.
Yeah. Oh, we have like a family story about a guardian angel situation. Actually,
does this involve pirates?
It doesn't. That's a different story.
Okay, we're still
waiting
for the
pirates. Remind me to tell that because
come
it's
back
fun.
To the pirate story.
So this my grandfather was an ace in World War II. And he was shot down actually over Germany, and he couldn't get his harness off. Like he couldn't get his seatbelt undone to eject, and he passed out, and woke up fully ejected, hitting the ground in a parachute.
Wow.
Yeah. So he was out.
Yeah.
And you know, about to crash and then somehow was ejected. Ended up losing one of his legs and, you know, so maybe not the cleanest guardian angel job.
Right.
But I think he has always pointed to that as like a potential supernatural event for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that is amazing. That's an incredible story. Mm-hmm. Again. Is that the work of an angel?
Sure. Or does he just not remember it? Who knows? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or does he not remember it because the angel wiped his memory?
like Men in Black.
Right. Yeah.
A little flashy thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. He was actually a prisoner of war after that in Germany.
Wow.
But he always said that he got to tour Germany as a guest of the Third Reich.
Wow.
That's an interesting way to put a positive spin on
being
a prisoner of war. Yeah.
Yep.
In my head, I'm thinking about the old show Hogan's Heroes, which like
makes a comedy. Hogan's Heroes.
Okay, so it makes like a comedy out of being a prisoner in World War II. I'm confident that that's not what your grandfather's experience was like, but I have a really hard time hearing stories like that without picturing that.
I know nothing.
Right, yeah. It always makes me feel a little bit bad. Yeah. I'm like, I feel like I should be more reverent of this experience, but all I can think of is stupid jokes from Hogan's Heroes. Right. Anyway.
Yes, and then my last
fun fact. No angels in Hogan's Heroes either, sorry.
My last fun fact about angels before we kind of maybe see what else we have here is angels not supposed to be worshipped. In Revelation, an angel is there with John, and John's like, this thing is amazing, this being in front of me, whatever it looks like or whatever it looks like is obviously supernatural and wants to worship it, and the angel's like, no, you don't worship me, you worship Jesus. And I think even one of the letters in Colossians, Paul reminds people, you don't worship angels, you're not going to do that. So I think that that's this idea of like, even though they are divine, they are magnificent, you're not supposed to worship them. So in Revelation, it's definitely implied that Lucifer is a fallen angel. So what do we think? Do angels have free will or not? This is kind of a bit of a question.
That's loaded.
Are you a Calvinist or
even the question of do human beings have free will is somewhat loaded for many Christians out there. And some Christian sects would say no, and some Christian sects would say yes, and some Christian sects would say kind of, but are like yes with a but or no with a, or no with a maybe.
So angels and free will. I don't know. I'll jump on an answer here, and we'll say sure. Angels have free will. Yeah.
We do get to see
angels can choose to rebel against God.
I was gonna say, I think we have evidence, right? Like, let's say the situation in Genesis where sons of God or whatever laid with human women. I'm guessing that's not part of the original plan or design. So that would speak to some free will or corruption.
God wasn't like, okay, so we're going to have 7 days of creation, we're going to rest for a day, and then day nine, here's the plan.
Right. Let me tell you.
that was not what's supposed to happen.
Right. Send you guys on down there, find yourself some lady friends. Yes.
Right. Spring break.
I think that's a good point, Elise, because I don't think that's part of God's plan for humanity that we kind of looked at. So, and then we do have this story in Revelation about Lucifer rebelling against God. And so I don't know if when Gabriel speaks to Mary, is he giving like the gist of the message, kind of his own interpretation? Yeah. Or is he reading something, or is kind of God speaking through
like
him?
Hamilton?
Probably, yeah.
Maybe, yes. I would like to see that, you know. Yeah. Lin-Manuel, if you're listening, create us a musical, rapping musical here about the angel Gabriel. Mm-hmm. So.
You know, one of the pieces that I love, this isn't necessarily an angel appearance, but it's an angel reference of scripture. And it's from Hebrews, and where you're encouraged to always welcome the foreigner or the stranger. I don't remember the translation exactly. It's either stranger or foreigner, but it says, because by doing so, some have entertained angels.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that too is where we get some of this idea that like angels walk among us and, you know, as plainclothes humans. And like, you don't even know, like I could be sitting next to an angel right now. And I'd be like, I just think you're another person.
You are.
So
they figured me out. Yes.
Right.
But I love that idea, because I think that, you know, it's kind of like do everything as if your mom is watching, right? Like if you treat every person as if you're treating an angel of God, then I think we would treat people differently sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I look at that driver who cuts me off and who I really, you know, want to give a certain hand gesture to, and I think, all right, maybe that person's an angel. Like maybe I'm not.
Maybe that person's a fallen angel.
Maybe, but I still feel like maybe I shouldn't, you know,
yeah.
I should treat them with a different,
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So I like that piece of angels.
Yeah, so I think, obviously from this, if we're looking at angels' idea, one, our artwork of angels or our drawing or representation of angels should look vastly different than what they are. If we're really looking at a biblical description, it's not going to look like kind of a ripped guy with wings who's kind of glowing. That's just not going to be it.
This is actually where my pirate story comes in. I don't know if this is going to throw off your groove a little bit.
No, we got it.
Sure.
Patrick's here. We'll come back. It'll be fine. Yeah.
All right. So I write a lot of fantasy and science fiction. So one of my hobbies is sort of figuring out where we got modern ideas for things in mythology, right? So like the vampire, where did that come from? I might have told the story before, but our first mention of the vampire actually comes, and if you've watched lore on Amazon, you will know this, from a strange plague or virus that was in New England in the 1800s.
Wow, all right.
Vampires were not a thing in mythology before this, and it was a thing where people would appear to be dead. They would get buried, and then they would wake up later, and sometimes they would bust out of their coffins or whatever walk in. We're not fully sentient.
They went into like a, what's it called? Because people have this when they fall into like a sleep where they appear dead.
A deep comatose like state.
Yeah, there's actually a word for it. I don't remember.
Right, it was some sort of like swelling of the brain or something. Okay. So they weren't fully themselves and just kind of like walking around. Sometimes they'd be violent, that kind of thing. So that actually inspired Bram Stoker to write Dracula. Dracula was the first vampire. So I think, you know, that kind of thing, we think that there's, you know, eons of like mythology and history to these
and
things,
vampires are like 1800s.
Right. Yeah. Frequently, it's just pop culture. Right. And well placed. So.
Which is why Abraham Lincoln had to start hunting them, because that's when they first came around.
I love that. I love that. Anyway, that's not what this is about.
Okay.
This is about pirates. Yeah. Pirates. So when you think of pirates, you know, you probably think Pirates of the Caribbean, very swashbuckling. And we assume that they're historical and there's all this evidence to back this up.
Yeah.
Our modern idea of pirates actually comes from the movie Treasure Island. That was the first sort of...
What does this have to do with angels?
I'm getting there. Okay. This is the first pop culture sort of visual representation.
Which was written when?
I don't know. Okay. You can look that up.
Like 1900s, 1800s, 1700s?
I'll look it up right now. So keep going.
Anyway, so that's Treasure like Island. Our first sort of, you know... representation of pirates, and so that just stuck, and that's what we think of when we think of pirates. And so we have no idea if they had peg legs or, you know, hook hands or one eye, or you know, kidnapped maidens in frilly dresses. We have no idea. But that is where our idea of pirates comes from. And I think with angels it's the same thing. Like, where does this idea of like the buff dude with the white feathered wings and the halo come from? I don't know the answer to that, but it's something I always think about, you know, when we're
Renaissance
talking
about, artwork,
right? Exactly. Yeah. So when we're talking about before that, the Romantic period, they had peacock wings. Yes, there have been several iterations of the winged angels.
See the peacock
angel. I know.
I also don't know the difference between Renaissance and Romantic as far as like which one comes first or second. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, old art.
Whatever.
Old art is where it comes from.
Usually you imagine, like a like almost eagle wings, but bright white kind of a thing starting up these angels. I do like the peacock wings, like maybe like some penguin flippers coming off of an angel. I can get down with that.
It's like when Maui changes into the shark head. You get one of those.
If the angel Gabriel appears to Mary, he's just like waddling back and forth.
He's like, don't be afraid. She's like, I wouldn't be. Don't worry.
I can tip you over.
Of what? Right. I think that's interesting. Maybe Angels in the Outfield. I think that's where it comes from.
Definitely from
So Treasure Island.
Actor who played that? He was Doc Brown
Lloyd.
And
Christopher Lloyd.
Christopher Lloyd. There it is. Thank you.
Angels.
Did Christopher Lloyd die?
I don't think so.
No.
Treasure Island first published.
Hold on, let me interrupt Patrick again. This is really funny.
1883. Okay.
Yeah.
November of 1883.
Yeah, I was going to say 1800s.
Which is why Abraham Lincoln is not pirate hunting because Treasure Island wasn't around yet.
We needed a late 1800s, early 1900s president to go hunt. Maybe Teddy Roosevelt. So he seems like a pirate hunter. So.
He does.
He really does. So basically, does. The moral of this is that everything we know or think we know about mythology of any kind is a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everything you think you know is false.
Right. It's been peddled to you by fantasy writers of yore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that does bring us back to angels. Like, it really. Separating what the Bible has to say to what pop culture or pop culture of the time has to say.
Canon angels versus canon angels.
Yes, is very, very different.
You've been sitting on that one.
Yes.
And if we really follow the Bible again, how our Christmas pageants would be a lot different. Mm-hmm. How our artwork would look, our ideas of a guardian angel would look a lot different. But it's kind of like we have these two paths going on in our head, like what the Bible is saying, also what kind of like we think should be true because of what we've seen in books and movies and TV shows. So I think that that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm big on this with biblical interpretation in general, because, you know, it's one thing to have a Christmas pageant that, you know, you make modifications so that kids can play the parts, and that's fine, and that's a thing. But like there are little details that I think matter. Like when we think like, oh, well, the three wise men came. Well, we don't know how many wise men there were. Mm-hmm. We just know that there were three of them. And, right. You know, what is a wise, you know, is a wise man, as we have often translated it? Is it a magician? Is it a, mm-hmm. you know, a sorcerer? Like we have to like get behind what these things yeah. mean or something,
and,
you know.
And probably astronomer would probably be our best
right,
guess.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, something like that. And like coming from the East. Okay, well, what would that really mean? Well, they're probably coming from like modern day Pakistan, India. Like, yeah. you know, that's probably where these people were. Like those pieces of the story really matter, mm-hmm. but we get that part left out because in our versions of the story, the wise men show up like 20 minutes after the shepherds. And mm-hmm. that's probably not what happened. Baby Jesus was probably a couple years old mm-hmm. by the wise men showed up, which is why when you get the slaughter of the innocents, which is also a piece of the story that we typically gloss over,
pageant,
right? Yeah. But that's why it's like, you know, I think it's up to 3 years old, all mm-hmm. the boys up to 3 years old, because it's probably about how old the baby would have mm-hmm. been. And so it takes a long time for the Magi to make their journey there. And then they have to go through Bethlehem and all the, or sorry, through Jerusalem before they come to Bethlehem mm-hmm. and all this stuff. I don't know, were the shepherds like right next door, or did they have to like run a long way? I don't know. Like there's just, we kind of Hollywoodize our Bible stories. And we miss a lot of the beauty and the power of the story when we do that. Like we think it's, mm-hmm. oh, this sweet story that brings back so many nostalgic memories, but it's even more powerful if we look at the full context of what's happening there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, that wraps us up. I think angels in the Bible. Have a Merry Christmas, everybody, from yeah. the Beyond yeah. Sunday team. We hope everybody Absolutely. Has a great holiday. If you're interested here at Lord of Life, we have 6 different worship opportunities for you.
6 of them. Name yes. them out, Patrick.
Wednesday night at 7. So Christmas Eve at 7.
That's right.
And then at Christmas Eve, we have one at 2, one at 4, one at 6, one at 8, and one at 11.
And all of those services are available for you to stream from your house if you are so inclined. You can go to lolonline.org and you can find all the information for how to register if you want to join us in person, or how to stream those services anytime that you wish. If you miss a service, it's available for replay almost right after it's done. So if you're like, oh, I really want to go to the 2 o'clock service, but I took a Christmas Eve nap, and you can come back and check that out even at 6 o'clock that night or on Christmas Day. You can say, you know what? I didn't get to see all of the services, so I'm going to go back and watch the rest of them on Christmas Day. You can do that too. But if you have a great story about an angel or about a Christmas visitation, maybe you got a special visitor at Christmas that you'd like to tell us about, send us an email, beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And we'd love for you to give the gift that keeps on giving the whole year round, the gift of the Beyond Sunday podcast. So wrap us up, put a bow on us, and ship us off to all of your loved ones so that we can pop under their Christmas tree on Christmas morning and they can celebrate with you as they listen to the dulcet tones of Patrick Nazaroff, Elise McCarter, and David Bowser.
Yes, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great week. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday. And Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas! Oh.